This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, congratulations to you. You have made it. The week is over and it is smooth sailing from here. Now, we have an enormous show for you tonight. I want you to think, just close your eyes unless you're driving right now, and think about the feminist in your life. Tonight's show is bigger than she is. The Ask Dr. Jesse Friday questions are the greatest we have ever had. And no, I don't say that every Friday. Some Fridays are good. Some are great. Some are average. I mean, we have questions about the Olympics. Iwo Jima, Vietnamese general in the Vietnam War, General Giep, someone as a Black Lives Matter flag-waving neighbor. Can we actually get out of this political situation we're in without violence? All that, so much more, even deporting your ex-wife. All that is coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But we have to do something that I think is important. Obviously, the show is not important. It's just a radio show. I'm not an important person. I don't have an important job. My job is to make your day a little bit better for 15 minutes or 3 hours, however long I have you. That's it. You probably have an important job. I do not. But every now and then, I think it's important that we stop and attempt to do something meaningful on the show, something that has very deep meaning to me and very deep meaning, hopefully, to you. So before I get into anything else, I'm going to play something for you. And we shouldn't ever underestimate this, the power of music. God gave us music. Did you know that? Do you remember that story in the Old Testament? Chris, you probably remember. King Saul, when he was ravaged by evil spirits, how did he calm things down? Music. Maybe right now you're going through it in your life. Maybe it's great times. Maybe it's bad times. I don't know. But I thought it would make your day a lot better if we played some powerful music for you on the show. So before we start, I just want you to sit back and take this in.
I'm gonna de-ice our neighborhood, invite our neighbors in. We're gonna heal this world with love. Tear down the fences.
I can't take it. These people are such nutballs. They really are. Just theater kids. All the theater kids grew up and they didn't get efficiently bullied in school. And now we have to deal with these people. They do this stuff all the time.
Hey, drop. Where you going with that gun in your hand?
I have to stop. I'm crying. All right, quit. We're going to focus. Focus. Jesse.
Conservatives have failed to take back the leadership of the Republican Party for over 120 years. During that time, communists have succeeded in taking control of all the cultural institutions. Time appears to be on their side. Once communism is established in a nation, can you cite an example of the nation voting its way out? What are your thoughts? Okay, so I do want to address this. You say conservatives have failed to take back the leadership of the Republican Party for over 120 years. And I would argue that's not true. I know there are all kinds of Republican leaders in the low-T GOP who are too weak, who you despise. But you know all the Republican leadership? You know they all hated Ronald Reagan, right? I know that none of them will admit that now. Nobody. Why? Because Ronald Reagan got elected and was a two-term president and was well thought of by the people. And so every single dirty snake Republican in leadership who tried to torpedo his nomination and keep him out of the White House, every one of them now in their much older age, they all talk about how much they love Reagan and Reagan loved me. And look at me, I took a picture with Reagan one time. Ronald Reagan was a political outsider. Donald Trump. Maybe you don't like Donald Trump. That's fine. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Doesn't bother me. I'm not friends with him. Doesn't bother me. Maybe he does things that get under your skin. Totally fine. I get it. But do you really understand how much those people in Washington, D.C., I'm talking about establishment Republicans, do you understand how much they hate him? He's the president. Do you remember the first time he ran? In his first primary, do you remember who they wanted, the establishment? They wanted Jeb Bush. And not only did they want Jeb Bush was had a great reputation as the governor of Florida. He comes from political royalty, obviously, the Bush family, and had a Brinks truck of money. Everything was set up for Jeb Bush to be the nominee. Jeb Bush got embarrassed to such a degree that to this day, Jeb Bush is a punchline. And if you're pretty new to politics or maybe you're a little bit forgetful, you forget that there was a time when Jeb Bush was a power broker in the Republican Party. Now people laugh at him. Donald Trump wasn't supposed to win that primary. Donald Trump had no chance. He's too crass. He's too this. He's been married three times. He's not a traditional conservative. Do you know how many establishment swamp rat Republican types have retired in recent years and how many are about to retire? You and I, we rage against dorks like Tom Tillis, the senator from North Carolina, all the time. He sucks. Every day he has a new anti-Trump, anti-youth thing out there. Every day he says something stupid. Tom Tillis is retiring. Why? Because Tom Tillis can see the writing on the wall. I don't know how the Texas Senate primary is going to turn out between John Cornyn and Ken Paxton. I have no earthly idea. But I have yet to see a poll that shows John Cornyn within sniffing distance of Ken Paxton. Do you understand how powerful John Cornyn is? John Cornyn has full-time security because he has reached such a level of leadership in the Republican Party in Washington, D.C. I despise him, but John Cornyn is an absurdly powerful man. With a word, John Cornyn can move mountains of money to or away from your cause. John Cornyn is courted by all the dirty lobbyists in Washington, D.C. John Cornyn is a mini king? And again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of time left. But John Cornyn probably loses a primary this year. I don't think it's fair or accurate to say we, you and I, have never changed the leadership of the Republican Party. What I think is fair and accurate are two things. First thing, we discussed this a little bit last night. Change, political change, comes very, very slowly. But people who love and read history, you'll read 7 years of political activism, it'll be three pages in a book, so it seems fast. In a movie, it's a cutscene. It's 10 years. It takes years. Political change takes years. That's one. And two, up until recent years, when the communists really lost their minds and started waking up all the norms and normas out there up until recent years, the GOP did not participate in anything outside of presidential politics. We wouldn't vote in primaries. We wouldn't vote in regular elections. We wouldn't get involved in off-year elections, special elections. The communists did every single time. Every single time. I'll repeat the number again. Now, this number is improving, so I'm not trying to dishearten you. Do you know why the Democrat Party has gone communist and the Republican Party hasn't moved as far to the right? Because 50% of registered Democrats vote in their primary. Half. They'll show up at the primary. The Republican number? 25%. Half that. That's just the national average, but half that. They are twice as invested in their primaries as we are. They have been. We're getting better. We are making changes. We are. Will it happen in time? I don't know. But let's give ourselves a little bit of credit, shall we? All right. Now, I'm going to move off of politics here really quickly, kind of. We're going to talk about this guy. He's got a neighbor. We're going to talk about the Olympics. Someone doesn't care. Do I care? We're going to talk a little bit about the Vietnam War. It's Friday. I'm in a mood to have some fun, and we are going to have some fun on a Friday show. Now, maybe my mood is just a result of my male vitality stack from Chalk. I want you to do me a favor. If you are feeling down, depressed all the time, out of energy, I want you to go look up. Just look this up. Look up the symptoms of low testosterone and tell me if that sounds like you. And hey, I'm not blaming you. There's estrogen in the water, and Father Time is undefeated. You're not 20 years old forever. It's about your mind. And ladies, don't think that you're forgotten about by Chalk. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. They have all different kinds for all different kinds of people. Men, women, old, young. And it's all natural stuff. The highest quality I've ever seen from a hardcore anti-communist company. And you get to save a fortune when you subscribe with the promo code Jesse. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. C-H-O-Q. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm gonna de-ice our neighborhood. Invite our neighbors in. We're gonna heal this world with love. Tear down the fences.
Tear down the fences. Chris, the next time I play that, I expect you and Corey to sing along with me. We're gonna de-ice our neighbor. We're gonna play it. Look, together, all of us now, right now.
I'm gonna de-ice.
Yeah, Chris, quit turning off the audio. The power of music, Chris. The power of music. Hey, Jesse, I won't give my name because I, one, have a neighbor with a gay flag, and two, have another neighbor with a Black Lives Matter sign in their front yard, and three, a Jewish neighbor with whom I was discussing cars. I suggested he buy a Tesla, and he replied with a Nazi salute. Jeez, and went on to explain what a horrible person Musk was and how bad his cars were built. Last year, he was telling me how wonderful the cars were. Should I put a Trump sign in my front lawn? Now, this is one of those situations where I don't feel comfortable giving advice, and I'll explain why. You remember during COVID, with all the lies and propaganda out there, everyone's gonna die! And then those, of course, all compounded into lies about the fake vaccine that wasn't a vaccine at all. You have to get it. You won't get it. Okay, if you get the vaccine, you will get it, but not as bad. All right, you'll get it as bad, but you won't spread it. All right, you will spread it, but okay, it was all just one big lie. And you remember how evil the country got at that moment, how controlling and evil the country got. And it filtered all the way down to employers. Corporations are oftentimes huge cowards. They're just afraid. They operate out of fear. And companies, oftentimes run by some angry lesbian in HR, started making people take, trying to make people take vaccines. Oh, you have to take it. You have to take it or you're fired. I can't tell you how many emails we got. Jesse, should I take it? Jesse, what do I do? Jesse, should I take it? And what did I tell you every single time? I can tell you what I'm going to do, or more specifically, what I'm not going to do. I can't tell you to lose your job. I can't pay your bills. I can't tell you. I can't make that decision for you. That's not fair. That's not fair of me to do to you. No, stand on principle. Lose your job. Okay. Now you gave that advice and that guy took that advice and now he's out of work and now they're on welfare. Now he moved back in with his mom. Now they have to, okay, well, that's my fault. That's at least partially my fault. I can't do that to you. You have neighbors who are communists. Black Lives Matter, the gay flag, Elon Musk is a Nazi, all this other stuff. You have neighbors who are communists. And you ask, should you put up a Trump flag or Trump sign in your front yard? I would love to tell you yes. But I think you have to understand two things. First, how soul draining it is to have a bad neighbor. I have had bad neighbors before because I've moved so many different places. I've lived all over. I've had multiple bad neighbors. It sucks, man. When your home stops becoming a place of peace because of a neighbor, what it does is it removes an outlet from your life. We all have stresses in life. It's the way it is. Wife, husband, kids, school, church, work. We all have things going on in life. Health struggles. To not have a place where you can just rest from time to time, ugh, it sucks. You have communists as neighbors. Let's do remember what a communist actually is, right? They are anti-humans. Let's say you put that Trump sign in your front yard, and I'm tempted to tell you to do it because I think you should. But let's say you do. Let's say you do that. What radical changes have you seen in recent years with poll numbers in the Democrat Party and what they think about you? Your neighbors think you're a Nazi. Your neighbors think you should be deprogrammed. Your neighbors thought during COVID that your kids should be taken away from you if you have children. A large percentage of Democrats think violence is an option in politics. Your neighbors during COVID thought you should be ripped from your home and placed in a camp for not doing what you were told. We need to be careful in life about stacking up enemies. I warned you not to keep coming back to COVID, that the person in your life who told you you couldn't visit for Christmas that year because you hadn't been boosted yet, that went well beyond COVID, that whoever that person was, coworker, mother, daughter, whoever it was, whoever that person was, that's the person who's going to turn you into the feds one day. That's the person. If, God forbid, the communist savages ever start going door to door to round us up, that's the one who's going to say, oh, that's Bob with the MAGA sign? I know where he has a crawl space. I know where he's hiding. Here, let me show you where he's hiding. I think you should move. If I had neighbors like that, I would sell my house and move. And I'm not exaggerating. I refuse to live in that environment anymore. There you go. All right, we'll talk Olympics. Talk about the Vietnam War. Let's talk about ZipRecruiter. It's hard to find people today. When you're trying to hire people, it's hard to find them. I know that, which is wild because we're so connected, right? There's all these different social media apps and websites, and why can't I find anybody? Because you're going to the wrong place. Do you know the one employers prefer the most? ZipRecruiter. Why? Because they have a great name? It's catchy. ZipRecruiter. No, it's because they have this technology that makes it fast and easy and saves you time. That's what you don't have is time. You need that position filled now, not 5 months from now. You need somebody now. You need someone to help you go to the next level. You have to replace some dirty communist you just fired. You need someone now. 4 out of 5 employers find you someone now, or they find someone now. With ZipRecruiter, a good candidate within the first day. Try it free. How about that? ZipRecruiter.com/ Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/ Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. Sing along.
I'm gonna de-ice our neighborhood.
Yes.
Invite our neighbors in. We're gonna heal this world with...
I'm so glad I'm not a communist. Hey, Jesse, did you know the Olympics started? I couldn't care less. The global elitists ruined it years ago. What's your stance on the Olympics? Well, here's my stance on the Olympics. It's very similar to my stance on sports, televised sports in general. When I was a kid, we didn't watch a ton of TV as a family. But the times we did, it was special to me because it was family time. My dad traveled a lot for construction. And so this was back when we had Blockbuster Video. Remember Blockbuster Video? Look, if you're young, we used to have to go visit a store to rent movies and take them home. I'm not trying to be old fogey, but that's how it was. When we went to Blockbuster Video, that was, it was probably nothing for my parents. It was everything to me. Everybody pick out a movie. We'll rent a movie. Oh, not that one. It's got bad scenes in it. You go home and watch a movie. That was special. The Olympics were part of that for me. We weren't Olympics obsessed, of course. But we would watch it and cheer. And this was the era of Carl Lewis was breaking all the track records. And the gymnastics team, the USA gymnastics team, they were always America's sweethearts back then. I didn't even know what I was looking at. It was a bunch of, I was a kid, right? I was 10 years old. Hey, there are pretty girls doing gymnastics. I mean, I didn't know what was going on, but still, I knew I was rooting for America. I was not raised in a political household, but it was a super America household. Now, we don't root for foreigners. My dad, America, baby. So that's what it was. But some things have happened over the years, and there's a couple different parts to this. Our education system, as we discussed so much, has gone so anti-America, so communist. This obviously has an effect on everyone who comes through it. Some will come out stronger and better, but many will come out and they will succumb to the anti-America propaganda. Oftentimes, not always, there are many athletes who are brilliant people, but oftentimes athletes are stupid. They're really dumb people, just very, very dumb, physically gifted, but their minds never develop because they don't have to. And so they're just very stupid and very susceptible to propaganda. And so they go through the education system and they come out America-hating communists. Look, I'll stay with gymnastics because it's a perfect example. Simone Biles, my wife is a gymnast, so she knows all this stuff, and I mean elite-level gymnast. My wife will tell me all day long, any gymnast I've ever talked to will tell me this, that there's never been a gymnast who has ever walked who is as good, even close to as good as Simone Biles. She does things physically that are not possible for other gymnasts. She's that good. She's that elite. But she's a moron, a complete moron. She's a race communist. If you go look at her public comments, she's a filthy communist. If she never opened her stupid fat mouth, I would root her on because she's an American and she's dominating, and I love that. But she came up as a communist. She learned from other communists. And now, and this is the other part of it, due to social media pressures, now when you turn around, she's opening up her stupid fat communist mouth and trashing Trump and trashing the country and trashing that. And so turns me off. What am I gonna do? Tune in and watch now? Am I supposed to root for that? I don't give a crap about Simone Biles. You don't give a crap about my country? I don't give a crap about you. I hope you fall in the Olympics. It means nothing to me. You're gonna root against me, I'll root against you. Professional athletes and collegiate athletes, this comes into play. And this is not all of them, by the way. There are some wonderful ones who are an inspiration. But the ones who turn out to be communists, they're not quiet about it anymore. It's all over their Instagram. It's all over social media. And then it becomes a news story. The New York Times is talking about it. And that has turned
into making sports networks communist. ESPN, for example. Again, not to date myself. When I was a teenager, I always played sports. I was terrible, don't get me wrong. But I always played baseball and basketball. Years and years and years. I was awful. But I played sports. My friends played sports. After basketball practice, you went home and you turned on ESPN. You turned on SportsCenter. And what was it? It was dudes, mainly dudes, but there were some women in there, Linda Cohen and the old types who were just awesome. There was dudes playing highlights with funny things. That's what ESPN used to be. I haven't turned on ESPN in years. It's a bunch of dirty commie journalists crapping all over America. Everything's racist. Hey, do we have any gays today? It's awful. It's terrible. It's turned me off of sports big time. And I'll tell you something. You know what's terrible? Bearing my soul to you here. My sons each play sports. We wanted them to be physical. Not that they need to be elite athletes and not that I'm that guy. You got to get a scholarship or you're dead to me. That's not at all what we do. We just want them to be physically active. And so we made them play everything till they found some sports they liked. So, that you know, I have a swimmer. I have a runner. That's what they do. But my sons, they aren't into watching sports. Because it was never a priority for me. As they were growing up, I kept getting more and more turned off by sports. And so now when there is something, you know, it was a big baseball game, the World Series. We just recently had the World Series. I like to watch I've become more of a baseball guy. By the way, percentage-wise, baseball players are by a mile the most Republican league in the country. Way more Republican than anything else. But anyway, I started to watch that. World Series. You know, I would watch the World Series with my dad. I remember watching Randy Johnson and the Diamondbacks. I remember it. My sons don't care. Because I got turned off. And so now that's a moment I don't get with them. What, Chris? Chris said not even like big track events or big swimming events. No, that's the thing. I mean, for one who wants to watch televised swimming, that's one. And two, my boys do it as much for the camaraderie as anything else. My oldest, James, is more physical, much more physical than I ever was. He's just one of these natural athletes. You really see the difference in people with what God gives them when they're born and whatnot. He's just an unbelievable athlete. He could have played anything he wanted, but he just wants to run. That's it. He'll get up. He did it this morning. Get this. No one told him to. 17. We heard him leave. He got up at 5 a.m. this morning. 5 a.m., 17 years old, got up with his running gear on, just went out for a run, 17. No one told him to. It's not in season. No, he just does it. It's just how he is. There's nothing you could have done to me at 17 years old to get me up at 5 a.m. if I didn't have practice, to get me up at 5 a.m. out there pounding the pavement. It's just who he is. But they're just not that way. And I could obviously I'm probably casting blame here. Well, it's their fault. But that's also a personality thing for me too. And when I get turned off by something, when I feel like somebody or some entity spits in my face, I'll walk away forever. I'll walk away. The Black Lives, you don't realize how obsessed I was with the NFL. Obsessed. Fantasy football. I was that guy on Sunday. I'd watch every early game, flipping back and forth, every afternoon game, flipping back and forth, and then I'm there hanging out for Sunday night football, and then I can't wait till Monday night football, and then I'm upset I have to wait till the next weekend. Everything. Obsessed my entire life. I don't think I've watched a game in its entirety since the Black Lives Matter stuff. Can't do it. Screw yourself, bunch of ungrateful scumbags. All right, we're moving on. I'm going to talk about Vietnam next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Some days you're just in such a good mood, you got to sing.
We're going to de-ice our neighborhood. Invite our neighbors in. We're going to heal this world with love. Tear down the fences.
Tear down the fences. We will tear down the fences. All right, quit. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I'm in a good mood. Jesse, I have to admit, when I found out you were in your early 40s, I was a little put off, thinking you didn't have the gravitas to opine about politics or history. I deeply apologize because I've become a regular listener and a bit of a fan. You don't have to apologize to me, brother. Your takes on toxic immigration and to the left are spot on and entertaining. Military question, what made Vietnamese General Diep so successful in his war against the Arvan and the Americans? All right. Now let's do a little primer here. General Diep. First, before America ever got involved in Vietnam, Vietnam had been colonized by the French. Now, we could go back even further where Vietnam was a bunch of tribes, but we're not going to do that, though. By the 50s, the French were losing their hold on Vietnam. France, post-World War II, for fairly obvious reasons, was having a difficult time keeping a handle on any of their overseas colonies. They just were. Remember this. Always remember this. Pause for a moment. We'll come back to Vietnam. I swear I won't get too distracted. Remember this about colonialism. One, it's underrated. Completely underrated. If it's done right, and the British were the ones who really did this right, if it's done right, everyone wins. We will move into your third world dump. We are going to run things. You are going to help us. We're going to take some of your resources when we need troops for a war. We're going to have you send some, but don't think it's a one-way street. We are going to provide for you. We are going to make your society more modern. Roads, schools, the medical supplies. We're going to modernize your country and raise the standard of living for the people in your country. And we're going to protect you. That's a big, big, big part of colonialism that makes it work. The third world country that gets colonized and then modernized, they can count on Big Brother coming in if anyone wants to start some stuff. Why did so many of these countries, Britain, France, why did so many of them lose complete control of their overseas colonies after World War II? Well, you said you would protect me. The Japanese Imperial Army just marched into my country and pillaged it like savages for years. You said you would protect me. Clearly you can't. This deal is off. The deal is off. Remember, the colonial power has to hold up their end of the bargain. Anyway, back to our story. Everyone has heard, at least I hope you have heard, of the Battle of Dien Bien Phu. You've never heard of Dien Bien Phu, Chris? Good grief. All right. So let me do this. The French were a very modern army. Like I said, they had control of Vietnam. By 1954, they were losing that control, and they ended up in a huge battle known as Dien Bien Phu. The French lost that battle. This is 1954, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. 1954, the French lost Dien Bien Phu. The Vietnamese won, one of those shock the world type things, and the French, this modern empire, France, had to walk out of Vietnam with its tail between its legs. Now, one of the main forces fighting against the French in Vietnam were the Viet Minh. The Viet Minh. You with me? Before there was a Viet Cong, there was a Viet Minh. Sorry, we're going to stop for another second. I guess we're going to do a little history today. In the Vietnam War, you know there was North Vietnam, the dirty commies, and South Vietnam. The North Vietnamese, they had an actual army, the NVA, the North Vietnamese Army. We're talking a regular army, uniforms, all the works. In South Vietnam, there was a communist guerrilla insurgency. Those were the Viet Cong. Those were the ones who were farmers and accountants during the day, At night, they put on black pajamas and go put out landmines for American troops. The communist guerrilla force in South Vietnam was the Viet Cong. Viet Cong and NVA are two different forces. Yes, they obviously worked together and whatnot, but they're two different forces. Now, those Viet Cong, before they were known as Viet Cong, they were the Viet Minh. You know about the Vietnamese tunnels. Of course, I know you know about the Vietnamese tunnels. They had all these tunnels in South Vietnam, all these little spider holes and tunnels where they would have, they were huge, huge underground hospitals and places where you could sleep and unbelievably intricate tunnels. Do you think they built all those right when the Americans showed up in the 60s? No. Those were built to combat the French long before we got there. So many of the tunnels were already there. Now, obviously, they built more and established more once the Americans got there. The Viet Minh were the ones who built those tunnels. Now, the name General Giep is not widely known in American circles. It's just not, because we care about Americans, obviously. We're not going to focus on too many Vietnamese figures. Most Americans know who Ho Chi Minh was. He was the communist leader of North Vietnam, and then eventually the leader of the whole thing when they won. But people know Ho Chi Minh, and they don't really know many other people. General Giap is one of those guys. Depending on who you read, there are differing opinions on this, but many people consider him to be a military genius, and militarily, they consider him to be largely responsible for the Vietnamese success both at Dien Bien Phu and later on in the Vietnam War. I'll finish this up just hopefully just a couple minutes, and we'll move on, do some political things. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.